I've been enjoying my Bible through the years so far. Has anybody? I hope you started that. If you haven't started it, please do it. Daily in the Word of God and spending time in the Scripture, it awakens you, it enlightens you, it keeps you hungry. And if you've been reading it, it makes you hungry to hear what's happening in the next chapter. It makes you hungry to see what happened after the flood and Abraham and Lot and the story of that. I mean, you begin to, this morning I start reading in the Beatitudes, right? Matthew chapter 5. I don't know if you're there yet, but it's just, I love the Word. And the more that you read the Word, you get hungry for the Word and you want to see what's going to happen next. And in my daily reading the other day, something popped out to me that really struck me, and I want to encourage you with this on this first Sunday of this new year. There's a difference between walking with God and walking for God. And I noticed that there was a man in the Bible, the very first man that was ever mentioned that walked with God. Does anybody know the very first man that was ever mentioned that walked with God? Does anybody know? Enoch. It said that Enoch walked with God. Right? If you don't know this, there was actually two Enochs. The second Enoch was the one who walked with God. And see, as you read this, and you can't skip over the genealogy, y'all. This one begot this one, and this one begot that one. Because you've begotten missing something in there. You know what I'm saying? So you want, don't miss that stuff. And so Enoch walked with God, and then he was not God, for God took him up. So there was no funeral for Enoch. He was just taken away. And there was another man, there was a second man that walked with God. And does anybody know his name? Noah. Noah walked with God. And so there's a difference between walking with God and walking for God. So let's pray over this. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray. I thank you for the anointing and for the presence of God that's in this room. And I pray as we read and study your word, we pray, God, it would challenge us, inspire us, teach us, instruct us, rebuke us, and teach us, God, your ways in Jesus' name. Amen. There's a big difference between walking for God and walking with God. First, I want to show you a biblical example of walking for somebody that walked for God and somebody that walked with God. Now, in your mind, you begin to think about this. Well, Pastor, what do you mean about walking for God? And I just want to hear from you real quick this morning. What do you think the difference is between walking with God and walking for God? Would anybody like to shout out before I start? Anybody? What's the difference between, what's one, maybe one difference between walking for God or walking with God? Or let me just, Gabby?
I think walking for God is more of
an
obligation, and walking with God is more of a desire.
Very good. I like that. Well said. Would anybody else like to come in on that? So she said walking for God is more of obligation, walking with God is more out of desire. Did I see a hand anywhere? All right. Yes. All right, very good. All right, we're getting this, I think. Jake, can you turn me down just a little bit, just a hair? I got a little bit of a ring. So there's a difference between walking for God and walking with God. The first example I want to show you is a man named King Saul in the Bible. King Saul was chosen by God. He was the first king that was chosen. He was a tall dude. And so one of his assignments, one of his last assignments, that Samuel, the prophet Samuel came to him and said, I want you to wipe out the Amalekites. They are the enemy of God, and they ambushed them as they came out of Egypt, and we don't like them. We want to make sure and remove the Amalekites. Kill everybody. Everybody shout, kill everybody.
Kill everybody.
All right? And so I don't want y'all to go out and kill anybody today, but I want you to hear this word, all right? And so he said, wipe out the Amalekites. Everybody say Amalekites. All right, Amalekites. They were the enemy of God. He said, wipe out the men, the women, the children. Yes, even the children, all of the animals, and even Agag, the king. He even named it by name. So Samuel leaves. They go into battle. Now, here is Saul, and he's fighting, and everything is going good, and they're winning this war. And then all of a sudden, he decided to keep Agag. And he also decided to keep the best of the spoils of the land. He decided to keep the best of the animals and everything like that. And so now he's sitting in his tent, and he's enjoying this moment. Because you got to understand, One reason why he kept Agag was like a trophy. You see, back in those days, whenever they would go out to battle, they wouldn't necessarily kill the king. They would rather capture the king and say, look what we just did. We captured you. And so what that did was that boosted up his ego. That made him feel like he was somebody big. And that made him feel tough. And it smoothed him over. It built up his pride is what it did. And so he kept Agag as a trophy. And so now Samuel comes to visit him. And so God wakes up Samuel and says, Samuel, Saul messed up. He's trying to build his own kingdom. And so now he comes into the campground, and King Saul comes out of the tent. He's like, bless the Lord, right? He comes out all spiritual. He's like, bless the Lord. And I have obeyed the voice of God. And Samuel's like, why do I hear this sheep in my ear? Why do I hear the bleeding of the sheep in my ear? Has anybody ever heard that before? That story, right? And so this is that story. He said, why do I hear the bleeding of sheep in my ear? And why do I see Agag? And so Saul was like, well, you know, the people wanted to keep the best of the stuff. And we want, now watch this. This is where I find where King Saul shifted from walking with God. Because when he first was anointed as king, the Spirit of the Lord came upon him and began to prophesy, and he was a lover of God, I believe, at one moment. But somewhere in his kingship, he drifted away and started doing stuff for God instead of stuff with God. Now watch this. He said this to Samuel. He said this in 1 Samuel 15:15. He said, we kept the animals to sacrifice to the Lord, what? Your God. He was no longer the Lord his God, but now he became the Lord your God. You see, the problem with this statement is that he acknowledged God as God, but he didn't acknowledge him as his God. He acknowledged him as Samuel's God. Is this making sense? You see, Astana does something in the name of the Lord, but then Oscar is challenging what she did for the name of the Lord. And she said, but Oscar, I did it for the name of the Lord your God. But once she says, I did it for the name of the Lord your God, it's no longer personal to her. It's no longer a relationship with her. Now she just knows who God is by name instead of by experience. Are you still with me? And then Samuel was like, but why do I see the sheep? Why do I still see the king? And then King Saul was like, but I have obeyed. You see, King Saul couldn't understand. It's like this. It's like, and I'm not picking on my kids. I love my kids, but I don't know if you have kids and you say, hey son, hey daughter, go clean up your room. And then, you know, the room is wrecked, right? And then you walk back by the room and the room is still wrecked. Has anybody ever done that before? Maybe you were a kid. Your mama told you to go clean up your room and you never clean up your room right. And then she's like, son, daughter, why didn't you clean up your room? But I have to clean up my room. But see, our definition of what a clean room looks like to somebody else's definition. And so the thing is that King Saul, his definition of complete of obedience was different from what God said. Because if God says, wipe out them all, take out the animals, take out the king, but King Saul chose to keep those, did he obey God or disobey God? He disobeyed God. Why? Because partial obedience is still disobedience. Did you catch that? If God tells you to do 10 things and we do 7 things, we want to go, and absolutely, we celebrate the fact that we did the 7 things, and he's thankful we did the 7 things. But if God told you to do 10 things and you don't do the 10 things, then that's called disobedience. Is eating fruit a sin? No. We'll try to tell that to Adam and Eve, okay? Because Adam and Eve... He told Adam and Eve not to eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, right? And at that moment there, that whole statement got twisted because Adam and Eve fell out of relationship. You see, Adam and Eve used to walk with God in the cool of the day. They used to walk with God naked. Get a picture of that for a minute. No, you don't want to see that one right now this morning, right? TMI, okay. And so here's Adam and Eve, and they... When they walked with God, everything was good. But then the moment they ate of the of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and everybody takes it for granted, it was an apple. I don't know if it was an apple. I don't know if it was a banana. I don't know what type of tree of fruit it was, but it was desirable. Because why? Because it was going to give them wisdom, and they was going to be like God. And so they disobeyed God because God told them not to. Anything God tells me not to do, it becomes is disobedience. Disobedience equals sin. Sin equals death. Death is means separation from God. And at that moment, sin came into the world. Why? Because of disobedience. Is this too deep for you so far? I'll be over in 18 minutes, okay? Stay on track with me. Are you still with me? King Saul partially obeyed, and because he fell out of fellowship with God, because he did stuff for God instead of stuff with God. Come on, are you with me? He served for God, and because of that, he fell out of relationship. And now it was no longer personal with him. And now it was Samuel's God and not Saul's God. And because of that, it caused him to disobey. So here's some things that will happen that will cause us these walking for God. Okay, we heard a definition earlier and it was so good. Walking for the Lord. This will make us do what? Here's one thing. If you're writing things down, you can write this stuff down. It's good stuff. Here's one thing. And I want to welcome all of our viewers. How many we got this morning? 48,000 people watching at one time. God bless you. In Jesus' name, Happy New Year to you. And so here's one thing. Here's the first thing. I've got 9 things listed here. Walking for the Lord will cause you, number one thing, will be controlled by people. When you walk for God instead of with God, it will cause you to be controlled by people. You'll always be controlled by them. You'll always be controlled by their opinion. You'll always be swayed by them. You'll always seek their approval. You'll always want to know what they're thinking about you, because the way they think about you, you'll be controlled by them when you do stuff for God. When you walk for the Lord, you'll become all about yourself. You'll become self-consumed. What can God do for me? What can people do for me? You become inward. You become selfish instead of selfless. Are you still with me? When you walk for God. Here's another thing that happens. You become offensive. How many ever get offended in here before? Nobody, right? No. Patty, raise your hand so fast you almost knock candy out over there. She's like, the Ravens better win the Super Bowl. If not, I'll become offended on everybody. You become offended easy. Your skin gets a little thinner when you do stuff for God instead of stuff with God. You know what else happens? We become entitled when I do stuff for God. You feel like you deserve things. I deserve this. And absolutely, there are some times where we feel like, absolutely, there are things that we need to be rewarded of, and I get that. But there's a difference. Entitlement thinks that we deserve things in our life. Okay? Entitlement. Here's another thing. When we walk for the Lord instead of walking with God, when we walk for the Lord, it will cause a fall. It will cause a fall when we don't walk with him, because we're walking for him. Here's another thing. We lose relationship with God when we walk for him. He's looked at as our master. Now he's looked at as the one who controls us instead of our father. Are you still with me? You fall out of relationship. It becomes a duty. I think you said that. It becomes obligation. How many times that you ever felt that, man, coming to church is obligation, or coming to a prayer meeting is obligation, or there's no excitement when you're doing stuff for the Lord. When you come to church, here's another thing that happens when you walk for God instead of with him. You think that you're doing God a favor just by praying. Oh, I prayed today, check that off. Oh, I read my Bible today, check that off. Or I was nice, I did my good deed for the day. How many's ever heard somebody say that? Oh, I did my good deed for the day. Well, God bless you. We'll give you a medal and award and trophy later on. And instead, when we do stuff for God instead of stuff with him, we think we're doing God a favor by coming to church. Oh my gosh, pastor text me one more time. I guess I'll come to church this morning. All right? When we walk for the Lord, it becomes obligation. There's no excitement. It becomes a duty. You know, it confuses me how sometimes even outside of church, it's hard for Christians, those who follow, who are supposed to follow Christ. It blows my mind how sometimes it's like what's the expression? My mind just went blank. It's like pulling teeth in order to try to get people to talk about the Lord. You see, there's a difference between talking about church and talking about the Lord. You see, if people get offended because you want to talk about God, then there's something wrong with their heart. They're not walking with God. They're living for God. This is not the time or place, Pastor. Come on, you're too much with this. If we walk with God, then that relationship goes everywhere. Is anybody hearing me?
Yes.
That relationship with God goes everywhere. It goes into the workplace. It goes at the roast site today. It goes at home. It goes at different holiday celebrations when we walk with God. Are you still there?
Yes.
Okay. Those are the things that happen when you walk for God. Here are the things when you walk with God. You know what happens when you walk with God? Now watch this. I love this. Write this down. Acts 1:8. It empowers you. You'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. When we walk with God, God empowers us to do what we could not do in our own strength when we walk with Him. When we walk for Him, it's like, here, God, okay, I'm doing this for you. Here, I'm vacuuming for you. I'm doing this for you. And you know what happens when you do stuff for God? You get burnt out. You get offended. How come nobody else is serving? How come nobody else is vacuuming? How come nobody else is there? How come nobody else is volunteering? How come I'm the only one who volunteers? How come I'm the only one who does all this stuff? And then what happens is that we end up having the wrong attitude when we do stuff for Him. But when you do stuff with Him, it will empower you because you feel like, I've got to do it. There's no other choice. I remember one time, and I shared this before, I want to share it again. In my old church, I used to go to the Ark, and we had, our lobby had glass windows. The whole lobby was glass windows. The double doors were all glass windows. And there was this man there, and he always dressed sharp, always has a nice suit on, always clean cut. And every morning I'd see him, and his tie would be tucked into his shirt. And he'd have his jacket off, and he would be in front. He'd have himself a spray bottle of Windex and a roll of paper towels every Sunday morning. I mean, he's just wiping them down every Sunday morning. So months goes by, and I go to him. I said, brother, I appreciate what you're doing here, man. I said, who gets you to do this, right? I said, who, did anybody ask you to do this? He said, no. He said, let me tell you what happened to me, right? And he started telling me his story, how he was an alcoholic and how God delivered him and how God took the desire of alcohol away from him, how he destroyed his life and destroyed his first marriage and all this stuff, and how God gave him another chance. He said, so I want to do stuff like this. I get to do this. You see, when you do stuff with God, it empowers you to do things that's not even asked of you. Wow. When you do stuff with God, it's like your desire, it changes from, oh, I have to wipe the windows, to, man, I get to keep God's house clean. Your attitude goes like, oh, wow, I got to come to Food Pantry. And then then when you do stuff with God, it's like, wow, I get to come and just serve and be God's hands and feet today. Does this make sense?
Yeah.
Oh, I got to go to church, you know, it's Sunday morning. It's like our attitude should be like, man, I get to come to the house of God. Look what God has blessed us with. We get to go to the house of God. We get to come to a place where we can come and be a part of family, and God empowers you. Is this making sense?
Yeah.
Is anybody saying like, man, I wish more people was here to hear this?
No.
No. You're the only one. You know what else? When we walk with God, it will help you overcome sin and temptation. It will help you overcome sin and temptation. It brings provision. Prime example where it brings provision. Noah. Since Noah walked with God, okay, it took him a long time to build the boat. Right? And because of that, he went through, I'm sure he was criticized. I'm sure his kids got made fun of. when they got dropped off from school or something like that, they're like, no, dude, you know, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, they probably got an earful from their friends and saying, dude, is your dad okay? You know, he's building a big boat in the front yard. That's kind of weird, right? Think about that. You got to think outside the box because it took a long time. You know, he just didn't start to work and have Home Depot deliver the goods, and he started building the ark. And it took a long time. I don't know if you ever saw Evan Almighty, right? You know, they buy the empty lots, and his kids is like, you know, getting made fun of. His wife leaves them. And I mean, think about this. That was real modern day imagination. But think about what Noah was going through at the moment. I'm sure his wife thought, oh my God, my mother was right. I should have never married this nut. And so think about all this stuff. But you know what? Because he walked, where'd he go? He walked where? With God. It provided for Noah. It protected Noah. And not only did it protect Noah, it protected his whole family. So dads, when we walk with God, it provides protection for our children. It provides protection for our home. Is this good? You know what else it does? It brings healing when you walk with God. It brings healing. It creates intimacy with God. It gives us clear direction when you walk with God. If you don't know which way to go, go with God. You know, I love, and you know, when Joshua walked with God, it was after the death of Moses, and now God said to Joshua, he said, stay close. Keep your eyes on the Ark of the Covenant because you haven't been this way before. So walk with God. And so God, in order for us to have clear direction, God wants us to walk with Him. Everybody say, walk with God. Here's another thing. It gives you clear direction. And also, you know what? Walking with God keeps you humble. Because pride, when you walk for God, pride sets in. Entitlement sets in. It's all about me sets in. But when we walk for God, humility. God opposes the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. Gives grace to the humble. Pride always comes before the fall. Before the fall. You know, King David, I was thinking about King David. King David walked with God. Yes, I know that he had weaknesses in his life, but he walked with God. It caused him to have victory over the enemy. Think about it. Because he walked with God, he was able to defeat Goliath. He walked with God, he was able to defeat the enemies that were in front of him. Here's another thing that it does when you walk with God. It increases influence. Are you ready for this? I love John Maxwell says, leadership is influence. So as a leader, and we're all leaders in some way or another, in our homes, on our jobs, in our church, but it increases influence. Now watch this. You know how I know that? When you walk with God. How many know John the Baptist walked with God? The Bible said that multitudes would come out to see him in the wilderness. This guy didn't have an Instagram. He didn't have Facebook. He couldn't text nobody. But yet thousands of people would come see him. Why? Because he walked with God. And he ate crazy stuff. And he dressed up a little different. But he had a message that I'm just a voice of one crying in the wilderness. He didn't have a website. He didn't have an advertisement. He didn't give out business cards. But because he walked with God, there was such an anointing in his life that people came from everywhere to come hear this man speak. You missed a good time to shout amen there. Come on. When you walk with God, when Gateway Church walks with God, when you walk with God, you know what happens? You set yourself on fire and people will come watch you burn. Yes, I know that, and I'm thankful for social media websites and different things like that, and I get that. But back in the day, man, they didn't have social media. So you know how the word spread? Through people. The fire of God fell. They didn't. Yes, I understand you got to change with the times. And I'm not trying to stay stuck. I'm not trying to get my space back, okay? And I'm not trying to go back to beta. Anybody remember beta? VHS? Millennials is like, dude, talking foreign language. Beta was a smaller one, right? Does anybody, wait, hold on. Any Marylanders remember Errols? Video, Errols. E-R-O-L-S? Come on. Patapsco Avenue? Come on, hey. All right. So I remember Uncle Pete, man. He had the first VHS. He was like, oh, man, yeah, it's going to come over. No, he had Beta. I'm sorry. He started off with Beta. That's right.
Then he went to
VHS. And then he went to, oh, yeah, stepped up in the world. All right. So if you still have Beta and VHS, God bless you. All right. But it keeps you humble. Okay. It increases influence. And so the thing is that when we walk with God, it'll increase influence. Here's another thing it does. It increases faith. It increases faith. When you walk with God, it increases faith. And here's the last thing it does. It'll increase ministry. It'll increase ministry. The Apostle Paul walked with God. And because he walked with God, it increased his ministry. He wrote two-thirds of the New Testament. He became an instrument that God used in big ways. I want to kind of close with this right here. I believe that we have a choice in 2020 that we're either going to walk for God or we're going to walk with God. Because walking with God is much better than walking for God. It increases intimacy with God. It increases faith. It increases influence. It increases the love of God. It increases direction. It keeps you humble. It empowers us. Walking with God helps us overcome sin and temptation when we walk with God. Well, Pastor, I thought that I was walking with God. I thought I was. And so what I ask you to do, how do you do an inventory? How do you check this out? We got to begin to ask ourselves some hard questions. You got to ask yourself some questions. Do I get offended easy? Do I feel like when I come to church, I'm doing God a favor? Do I feel like when I come and I come to worship practice, or I come and teach my class, or I serve at food pantry, is it a duty? Is it like you're dragging your knuckles walking in there? Are you always thinking about yourself first? Are you always thinking about me? How come they don't talk about me? How come I never get my shot? Are you controlled by people? Are you controlled by people? Are you always seeking the approval of man? Are you missing a lot of church? These are, when you find the answer to those questions, you'll know if you're walking for God or if you're walking with God. You know, the more and more I walk with God, the more and more I realize that my life is not my own. The more and more I realize that I belong to the Lord. Walking with God is so important for your home, for your marriage, for your children, because it'll leave a legacy. Walking with God, does it mean that you won't ever fall? Yes. People fall. People make mistakes. But when you walk with God, it teaches you how to get back up again. It teaches you how to get back up into a place of intimacy. It teaches you how to get back up into a place of prayer. It teaches you how to get back up into a place of humility. It teaches you how to get back up into a place of faith. So this morning, I want to leave you with this. Walk with God. Walk with God. Don't walk for Him. Don't do things for Him. Don't do things in the name of the Lord. If you know the armor of God in Ephesians, it says, be strong in the Lord or be strong for the Lord. It says, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. You see, we get that turned around. It says, therefore, be strong for the Lord. No. God says, be strong in the Lord. Be strong with Him. If you serve in ministry, don't serve. Don't do it for Him. Don't teach for Him. Don't do things for Him. Don't serve for Him, but serve with Him. co-partner with him, co-labor with him. And when we learn how to do that, it empowers us. It will provide, bring healing. Right? Our pursuit conference is called With God. I don't want us to lose that. I don't want us to lose the fact that to do life with God. My wife says it often. She says, I got to go through life one way or another. I would rather go through life with God. Amen? Let's all stand to our feet. After we pray, we're going to take an offering and do an announcement, and we'll close out. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your endless love. And today, Lord, we pray that we would live with you, that we would walk with you, not for you, but that we would walk with you in the name of Jesus. Come on, with every hand raised, come on, let's make a declaration this morning. Let's make this declaration this morning that we're going to, God, we're going to do life with you. We can sing a chorus, and then we're going to pray some more. Thank you.